Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, Crime Salad listeners, welcome back to another episode of Crime Salad, where we talk true crime. My name is Ashley.
And I'm Ricky.
And before we begin, we want to provide a content warning for this episode, because today we will be discussing a very sensitive topic that surrounds bullying and suicide and its devastating impact. These topics can be incredibly difficult to hear and may be triggering for some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling, please remember that help is available. You can reach out to the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988 or visiting 988lifeline.org for support. You are not alone. Please love yourself. You most definitely belong, even when sometimes it feels like you don't. And feel free to skip this episode or end this episode at any moment.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bullying is a heartbreaking reality that affects kids worldwide, and in some cases, its impact can make one feel hopeless, causing depression. It can bring on an overwhelming wave of anxiety and really have lifelong effects. And in more extreme cases, it can even bring on thoughts of suicide or, sadly, committing suicide. A devastating experience for families, as they now will always question, what more could I have done? Bringing on guilt and a desire to make a change. Kids can be cruel at a young age, and as we know it, even adults can be. And it seems like over time, bullying has evolved, extending its reach beyond the schoolyard or around the local town to the world of online harassment, where individuals can hide behind their screens and really say or do whatever without any real consequences. Statistics show that an estimated 160,000 children skip school every day because of fear, an alarming reminder of the emotional toll bullying takes. And this week, we are sharing real-life stories of kids whose experiences highlight the harsh realities of bullying and really the impact it has on them and their family. While there are countless cases, each one that we will discuss today is meant to bring awareness, to provide support for those who are living with similar struggles, and also to help identify the warning signs. Sammy Teusch was just about to complete fourth grade. Summer was just in a few weeks. However, the 10-year-old boy from Indiana ended his own life in May of 2024. May 5th started out as a normal Sunday morning. Sammy and his family were enjoying some downtime. His dad was cooking breakfast, and the kids were playing video games. And for breakfast, Sammy wanted pancakes. To make that happen, Sammy's dad and one of his older twin brothers made a quick trip to the store to grab an ingredient that they needed. But when they got back and called Sammy downstairs for breakfast, their world was turned upside down. In the time they had gone to the store, Sammy had taken his own life by hanging himself. His death was devastating to his family and a heartbreaking reminder of how heavy and lonely life can feel for a child dealing with mental health that can come from various things, but one thing that seems to be a pattern is bullying. According to his family, they have reached out to the school approximately 20 different times on issues that seem to keep getting worse. Where at first it was, you know, a lighter dose of bullying, like making fun of his glasses or his teeth, and then it turned physical. Pushing, shoving, hitting, scratching. He would come home with scratches down his neck and marks on his face after being hit. His sister later reported that she had a friend stay the night during the weekend where Sammy took his life. And during that time, Sammy's bully called that friend on her phone and asked to speak with Sammy. He told Sammy that on Monday, he would beat him up again. So all weekend long, he's thinking about this. He's dreading Monday morning, having to go to school to come face to face with this bully who has tormented him in the past and is expecting to get beat up. And that Saturday, according to Sammy's father, it felt like a normal day. They made a barbecue and later they made s'mores. And Sammy showed no signs that this even happened. He never mentioned his fears. In reality, he actually thought Sammy's situation with this bully was becoming better. Sammy's phone at the time was being monitored by his family, and he actually didn't have access to it, to where people who would try to bully him online weren't able to get a hold of him. However, the next day was Sunday, and 10-year-old Sammy ended his life. Sammy's father doesn't want to be just another parent crying on television and nothing would be done about it. He is striving to really make an impact, pushing what is called Sammy's Law. According to the Change.org petition that we will share in our description, it states that Sammy's family is teaming up with advocates and other families to push for anti-bullying laws in Congress, claiming that as of right now, there's no federal definition of bullying or any action on bullying from Congress. At the time of this recording, the Sammy Teuch Bullying Intervention and Prevention Act has not been enacted into law. This proposed federal legislation aims to address bullying in schools by establishing a uniform reporting system, defining bullying and cyberbullying at a federal level, and it focuses on mental health and suicide prevention. Sammy experienced relentless bullying, as his father described. Advocates, including Sammy's family and supporters, continue to push for its passage to prevent similar tragedies. Sammy's father stated in an interview that he wants bullies to be held accountable. And on top of that, he doesn't want bystanders to feel like they are in danger or feel like they could get in trouble if they said anything or if they report anything. And according to Sammy's parents, they reported a number of times, claiming that this has been an ongoing issue since the year prior. However, the school claims that they never had as many incidents as the family expressed. This opened an investigation that resulted in no charges and no actions being placed. This was because the police couldn't prove that his suicide was 100% caused by bullying. However, there are clear indications and evidence that he went through a very rough time in school with those bullies. And the school where Sammy attended was not found negligent in his death because administrators addressed the incidents. And this included handing one of the alleged bullies a 1 day in school and 1 day out of school suspension. In a heartbreaking reality, the loss of Sammy devastated the family and the community. Sammy's obituary states, "Sammy was a tremendously loving, laughing, encompassing, and accepting young man. He was quick to make friends, knew no stranger, meant no harm to anyone, never sat still, had the biggest heart along with the best smile. He loved to fish, play video games, and play with robots, hike, jump into ponds, be in the great outdoors, and play soccer. At such a young age, he was well-traveled across the world and accepted all cultures and all ethnicities. He loved spicy food and relished when he got to choose dinner because he always asked for spicy ramen noodles. Sammy was loved by all, thoroughly embraced hugs, and had big plans for his future.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just such a shame that there were 20 incidents that were reported, right? I know the school said they didn't have that many, but come on, we know how this works. A lot of times this type of stuff just gets swept under the rug. Yeah. The fact that the bully, yeah, he received what, one day in school suspension, one day out of school, like that's
what
just,
is that?
Yeah, it's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. And with Sammy's law, they hope to do more than just, you know, a little slap on the wrist. Like they hope to make a change, which is just so impactful.
Right. And at that age, it seemed terrible, right? Obviously, he couldn't continue his life. He thought he couldn't, at least. You're so young and you have so much ahead of you. And if he could have just gotten through that, he could have had an amazing life. And it's so sad that all of the pressure and the bullying got him to the point where he felt like he couldn't continue.
I know. Another case involving bullying that became well-known, mostly because of TikTok, involves a young girl named Aubrey Wyatt, a 13-year-old girl from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, who died by suicide on September 4th of 2023. Her mother shared her story and gained a large following who supported her continuously, along with the popular hashtag LLAW, which stands for Live Like Aubrey Wyatt. And of course, there was a group who thought bad of her. With her millions of followers, it's likely you've seen her videos which cover what she experienced the day when she found her daughter lifeless, which is absolutely terrible. She also explained in various videos how the school didn't do anything about the bullying that involved her daughter and made a number of TikTok accounts to spread suicide awareness and the bullying that her daughter experienced while she was in eighth grade. She shared the real-life moment when she opened the discovered letters that were found in her room once she got enough courage to go into a room after all that had happened. Viewers across the globe witnessed her pain and suffering as she mourned for her young daughter's loss. And this video even encouraged others to not want to put their parents in that situation after seeing her open up a suicide note that she left for her mother in her room. There were thousands of comments that were left on her TikTok that were similar, like, I can't do this to my mom, and this is my sign to stay, which is so heartbreaking in itself that so many people feel this way. Her sharing her personal experience and her story, not letting her daughter be forgotten, holds a very strong force of love that she had for her daughter. It would be so hard to live through what she and her daughter experienced because this is a nightmare no one ever wants to experience. And the fight to get justice would naturally replace your life's meaning. Now, allegedly, from what we know, there were at least four girls who bullied Aubrey, who were all in the same grade, so in eighth grade, when she died. And supposedly, they were her so-called friends at one time. And once more and more TikTok users saw Heather's videos, these girls started to get a lot of hate from people who wanted to stand up for Aubrey. And their parents started to retaliate as Aubrey's story spread worldwide and targeted these four girls. The parents of the four teens filed a defamation lawsuit against Heather, leading to a judge ordering her to shut down all of her social media accounts, to quit spreading false information as they were falsely accused. And this decision sparked outrage online, with many arguing that it violated her freedom of speech. So there ended up being a bunch of support from social media users, including popular TikTok users who have reposted and created videos of Aubrey and her story being her voice since her mother lost hers. even sharing screenshots of text messages between her and her mom when Aubrey was begging to be picked up from school. One text was how the main bully, Molly, slapped her across the face because Aubrey said that she didn't like someone. While Aubrey was in school, she was told to tell a teacher or tell the other school staff if there was ever a problem. On a number of occasions, Aubrey would text her mom while she was in school begging to be picked up, stating specifically that this girl named Molly was being mean. Now, these girls got a lot of hate comments, and they still continuously get them. And I believe it's because of the things that they posted. So after Aubrey's death, there was a photo that was posted that was believed to symbolize Aubrey's suicide, allegedly mocking her. It was a baby doll that was covered in red paint or something red, indicating blood. And it was held up while another one of the friends posed with a finger gun gesture against its head. This picture was posted on one of the girls' social media accounts, and it's still floating around the internet. And to this day, Heather, who continues to fight for justice for her daughter, who alleges that she was bullied to death, was court-ordered to be silenced. However, it didn't really stop anything, and eventually the order was dropped. Now, this was a court order because supposedly these girls were getting bombarded with people from all over the world, and these included threats and whatnot, which doesn't really make it right because these are also young girls in eighth grade, and they're kind of getting bullied online.
Right. But in a way, poetic justice a bit, but yeah. I get it.
But it's still wrong, but it's kind of like, I mean, what would you expect? So those charges were eventually dropped. Now, Heather ended up facing many expenses to try to fight for justice. She started a GoFundMe, which we will add in the description of this episode, stating that with the unexpected cost associated with legal proceedings, which included filing fees to consultations and various other legal aspects, started to rapidly pile up. From when I checked last, the GoFundMe goal was $100,000, and it has raised $124,464 with 4,600 donations supporting Heather's family and her journey to fight for justice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Aubrey's obituary reads, "Aubrey was born in Ocean Springs on March 17th, 2010. She was an eighth grade student at Ocean Springs Middle School and an active member in youth at St. Paul UMC. Aubrey was a straight A student, an amazing daughter, sister, and friend. She loved the beach, her friends, gymnastics, riding four-wheelers, and making TikToks. Aubrey was well known and loved in the community, especially for her outgoing and bubbly personality." So what is bullying? Bullying is when someone is repeatedly mistreated through verbal, physical, emotional, or social actions, either by individuals or groups. The victim often feels powerless and unsure of how to stop it. Bullying can have serious emotional and psychological effects, sometimes requiring counseling or therapy, and it can also force victims to change schools, jobs, or even communities to escape the situation, or, as we know it, attempt or committing suicide. And although we see it in some adults and even online, it seems to really affect school-aged kids or high school-aged kids surrounded by their peers, knowing that they have to be in school every single day, Monday through Friday. They have to get good grades and they have to do as they're told. But sometimes they may find it hard to ask for help or to stick up for themselves. And if they do, some kids even get suspended along with the bully. Similar to Flora Martinez, who was suspended from school for being bullied. Can you believe that?
It's insane.
Flora attended Duane D. Keller Middle School, and she was told that if she had a problem, to go to the vice principal. Instead of giving her support that she really needed, she was actually suspended for 3 days. And this wasn't just a one-time thing. Supposedly, this had happened on more than one occasion. Her parents soon had enough because Flora would come home and would feel like she was in some kind of trouble, being that she was suspended, and she would hide away in her room. And her mom would tell her that she's not in trouble at all. The parents attempted to do an emergency school transfer, but it was denied. She started to fall behind on her schoolwork because, I mean, she kept getting suspended. And the bullying continued outside of school, which happened online. It was on May 7th of 2024 when Flora went to school, and a boy that she had a crush on asked her to be his girlfriend. And of course, she said yes. Then he told her it was only a dare. I would never go out with someone as ugly as you.
Jesus.
Yeah, Flora was only 12 years old.
Yeah, it's so cruel.
Her parents did all the right things to try to protect her. Her mother and father described her as a very loving girl, someone who was so very caring and had a natural talent as an artist who could draw anything. There was a private group on Instagram where her and a bunch of kids were active, and some of the things that they would say in this group were absolutely horrible and just extremely hateful. A boy posted a picture of her on there saying how ugly she was. And her parents would fight for her, making sure there was a no-contact order at times. But nothing seemed to stop the bullying. I really couldn't find much information on this case. The only thing that I could find was an Inside Edition episode where her parents explained their hurt. Now, one of the hardest things to see is a child not wanting to go to school. And that's what Flora's parents had to watch as they dropped her off at school, encouraging her to make it a great day. But towards the end of that day, Flora would text her dad, pleading for him to come get her. This went on about once a week for the last month of school, and she ended up ending her life when she had 12 days of school left, where she felt like she couldn't continue on. Her father unlocked her bedroom door and found her lifeless with a ligature around her neck. And her parents stated that the online bullying toward Flora, who took her own life, didn't stop. One kid said that, "I'm glad she's dead. It makes me the happiest person in the world."
Jesus.
Another person said, "May she rest in piss." And another person said, "I wish I could go to her house and shoot her corpse with my gun."
People are so heartless and cruel. It's sad.
These are eighth graders. Where did these kids even get this from?
I have no idea.
And the school, according to the parents, still did nothing about it after her death. They never apologized. They never reached out to the family. There was an email that was sent out to all the parents that a student had passed away, but it was just like a general email.
Right.
And along with that was a reminder that Flora's mother got to register Flora for the next school year. And she continued to get that reminder. How hurtful is that? You know, she should be registering her child to go into the ninth grade, but she's gone.
Yeah, it's awful.
Her parents are making an effort to share Flora's story and to help the next kid. Bullying is something that happens every day. Flora's father spoke with Inside Edition and explained that his new goal in life is to support others who are experiencing bullying and to help others. Just like other parents who experience the loss of a child by suicide relating to bullying, they hope that there would be a law passed to where school staff are better trained in handling bullying situations and even making the consequences more severe, like expulsion, or even the father said, maybe probation. There's just more that should be done to the bully and not to the one who's being bullied.
Not to mention, in this case, she was punished for being bullied.
Yeah.
So it's like, who do you turn to for help? You feel like you have no one. Everyone's against you at this point, even the school.
Yeah, the school, the other kids, the lack of support is just crazy. Like, where's the guidance counselor to be like,
right,
come into my room, let's talk.
Yep.
And her parents are still suffering her death. They feel guilt that they weren't able to save her. It's just a heartbreaking story that they have to live with this every day, left without any justice at all. And It's to the point where they can't even go into her room.
Yeah, I could see that.
We used to be told the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But it's not entirely true. We know the most common form of bullying is physical. It can involve hurting someone, whether it's hitting, kicking, or punching, spitting or shoving, breaking or stealing personal items. But bullying can be verbal as well, using words to harm, humiliate, or threaten someone. Examples could be making an inappropriate or sexual comment, taunting or threatening someone. And it doesn't end there. There's also social bullying or relational bullying, spreading rumors or lies, purposefully excluding someone from groups or activities, embarrassing someone in front of others, encouraging others to not be friends with that someone. And I feel like this is a big one for kids in school. And there's cyberbullying, bullying that occurs online or through digital communication. And this could be sending a mean or threatening message to someone, posting harmful or embarrassing content about someone, impersonating someone to damage their reputation, or even harassing someone in a gaming platform or social media. Each type of bullying can significantly impact a person's well-being, and often multiple forms occur simultaneously. Addressing bullying involves awareness, intervention, and support for both the victims and the perpetrators.
Not to mention, at such a young age, I think it's difficult to even realize that you're a bully, right? There's so many social pressures and everybody's trying to fit in. I know even from personal experience, there's so many things that I look back on and I regret that were really hurtful towards other people, but it was really me just trying to fit in, mm-hmm. right? Like I used someone else as a joke or something to be like, oh, you're funny, Ricky.
Yeah.
You know, but I've been on both sides of it. Like I've been the bully and I also was bullied a lot even before like sixth grade back. Like I dealt with that a lot. So I think when I got the opportunity to be the bully, I didn't really look back where I should have had more of that perspective of like, people have done this to me and it really sucks. But overall, being a kid sucks. Like it is really hard.
But I think that's like so common in kids because you're just trying to survive, you know, like yeah. You're just trying to, and it doesn't make it right. And just like in Aubrey's case, the things that they said about her are just outrageous, like yeah. After she died.
I think that's why doing cases like this may not be the most exciting case. There's not twists and turns, but that's why awareness is so important. And we've had a lot of conversations even with, you know, our 15-year-old boy about these types of things. And a lot of times he's like, I know. Like, I'm not that way. I don't do this. But it's about that perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Being aware and understanding how you can affect other people or what other people could be going through. That type of thing.
Yeah. Or, I mean, there's even some kids that I know he goes to school with that I won't mention. But I know, like, they can be a little on the bullying side, like they can be bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they have, you know, rough home lives where they're hurting inside and there's something like bothering them, and being mean to other people is just like a way to like get it out, or it's just what they know. It's
right.
Just they're how they know.
Projecting even. I mean, a lot of those kids are treated a certain way and that's how they treat other people.
Yeah.
But it's not just the kids that need to be aware. I mean, this is something that is a problem even with some parents. There's so many times that we've heard parents even say, well, I'd rather my kid be the bully than being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And that just creates even more of this problem that doesn't get solved. And it's horrible.
Suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people aged 15 to 24, with rates increasing over the years. Second leading cause of death. Experts say that it's not accurate to blame bullying alone for suicide because this can distract from other important issues like mental health, family struggles, or dealing with a disability. Focusing too much on punishment can also take attention away from kids who really need support and help. Plus, it might send the wrong message that suicide is a normal reaction to being bullied, which could be harmful to vulnerable teens. So, with that being said, it's best to get help and support and be vigilant by learning the signs that your child or someone you know is getting bullied. Everyone, parents, teachers, guardians, peers, and communities, they all play a key role in building support networks. Fostering positive relationships and teaching coping skills and encouraging young people to seek help is just so important. They even might feel ashamed to bring it up or embarrassed to ask for help. This is a vulnerable time, like you said. It's tough to be a kid. It's high school's tough. Middle school's tough.
It is. It's really, really tough. And not to mention, adolescence, it's this whirlwind of change. It's a time where the child's mind is developing and they're growing into their bodies. And those two, they kind of collide with each other. So going back on the whole awareness and teaching and that type of thing, I think it's so important to learn these types of skills or coping mechanisms, those types of things early when you're younger, because these are things that last your entire life. You're going to experience some type of bullying when you go to college, when you start your first job, you know, that type of thing. There's so much that you deal with throughout your entire life, and knowing how to handle it is just so important. And I think a lot of times these young children, they're ill-equipped. I mean, it's a hard situation. The parents don't really know how to help them. They say, you got to be tougher. You got to do this, do that.
If our son ever comes into like a situation like that, I always say, Ricky, you need to talk to him because I'm not very strong in that department. So that's more of like a you thing.
I don't think I'm necessarily strong in that department, but one way that I like to approach those things is with logic, right? And a lot of my philosophy there is that everybody is struggling. You know, there's usually two sides of it. There's the kid who's trying to fit in, like trying to impress their friends. A lot of times, like, I think it's because I've been on both sides of it. So I think with our son, I tried to show perspective. You know, this kid, he doesn't really have a lot of things going for him. Like he's dying to fit in and those types of things. And then you have the other side of it where you're just trying to like maintain status or impress your friends by making a funny joke. And a lot of times, I don't even think the bully is necessarily really meaning to be as hurtful as they are in some situations. Obviously there's so many of these situations, but specifically I'm talking about a social situation where you're making fun of somebody for the reaction of your friends or the acceptance of your friends, right? But there's always two sides of it in that type of thing, you know, and I think there's a whole psychology thing to it.
I know we're not psychologists or in that field at all, but like, if your child was getting bullied, what kind of things would you say? Or like, how would you approach that? You know, like, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it's really hard. It's hard to just say, because I've heard in the past, and I'm even guilty of it, saying, oh, you got to be tougher. You have to have thicker skin, those types of things. But those aren't really helpful ways of dealing with someone like a bully. You often hear, oh, you have to confront your bully or stand up to your bully, but it's not always that easy.
No.
And I think that's one reason, you know, the internet can be really, really hard on our youth. I think because there's all these different outlets. It's like another place that they have to fit in, you know, and they can be attacked. And it, you know, the bullying's not only at school anymore. Now it's happening on the internet and it's 24/7. But I think the internet can provide a safe place for a lot of people to kind of be themselves or yeah. meet other like-minded people. I mean, just over the weekend, I took our son and some of his friends to a movie, and they were kind of talking about the rougher times. Like pre-sixth grade for our son was really a difficult time, you know, didn't have a lot of friends. And I kind of knew this, but it was weird to hear it out loud and then hear his friends say the exact same thing, is that they really struggled socially in like the school environment, but they had tons of friends from all over the world that they talked to in Discord, which is like a communication platform, or Xbox chat, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. And it was really cool to hear that both of them, you know, they really found that spot where they were accepted and they could be themselves. And that's really cool. And I think with everything else that's terrible, that's a good spot to kind of figure out who you are.
Yeah.
And build confidence.
Yeah, I agree.
But overall, I just hate bullying. Like, I am so anti-bullying. I hate that schools don't step in as much as they should. And I know that's here or there. You know, what is the right thing? How do you handle that? But we're all just trying to survive. And it just sucks. And it sucks so bad that some of these stories that we even told, you know, they're so young and they had their life ahead of them and it only would have gotten better.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's
12-year-old, 13-year-old, like, it's just a very, very small percentage of their life. Like, and they thought that was like rock bottom, which it was at the time.
At the time, it was everything.
But there's so much more.
I don't even remember being 12 or 13. I honestly don't.
Yeah. I kind of don't either. But I know that, like, I remember the feeling of, like, being in school and feeling, like, so uncomfortable at times and, like, feeling, you know, out yeah. of place.
Yeah, and I think ultimately maybe that is part of the solution, is obviously there's some resilience that you have to build up, but, you know, finding common ground, finding people who understand you or you fit in with, but also knowing that there is a future and that it does get better, and building that type of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hope is definitely something that you can chase after.
Yeah. Now, the resilience thing that you mentioned, it's interesting that you said that, because when I first started diving into this episode, I was amazed to learn from parents at how a lot of the schools, like you said, they're not doing things to really stop the bullying. Like, they'll have an assembly here and there, put some signs up, but really, like, what is being done? Having a support from a guidance counselor or their friends or their family to build resilience would be a strong effect, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this really interesting read from Hillside, and their website is hside.org, and we'll add that to our description. And it talks about building that resilience, and they provide a lot of helpful mental health services, including mental health support, even for bullying.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, another case that I really wanted to mention that you most likely already know is Amanda Todd's case, which is a heartbreaking example of the devastating effects of cyberbullying and online exploitation. Amanda was only 15 years old, from British Columbia, Canada, and she shared her story in a YouTube video before her death by suicide in 2012. And in this video, she used flashcards to detail her experience of being blackmailed by an online predator who shared an explicit photo of her to people who she knew personally. And he posted this on a porn site and shared the link with family and friends. And the ongoing harassment, coupled with bullying at school, led her to struggle with depression and self-harm. She was in a situation in school where No one wanted to talk to her because they found out that this picture's floating around of her. This video that she made reached so many people, and it was a cry for help. Despite moving schools, the bullying continued, and Amanda tragically died by suicide. Her case raised global awareness about cyberbullying, sextortion, and mental health, sparking conversations about the need for prevention and support. I would recommend you check out her website, which is amandatoddlegacy.org, and we'll be sure to leave that in the description. And also check out some of the things that are on this website. There's really awesome documentaries and her videos on there. And I feel like her case is just one that really rocked the internet, one that hurts to know that if she had the support, you know, a good, solid group of friends who didn't unfriend her, she could still be here. And she could be living out her dreams that she had. Bullying is a problem that needs to be addressed together. And Ricky and I invite you to share your bullying story. So if you were bullied or if you have bullied, we would love to make something out of it, like a TikTok or even a side salad or something like that. And we can even make it anonymous, of course. But I feel like letting others know that they aren't alone could be helpful, just spreading that awareness. And if you want to take a step toward being an advocate, you can make a difference by getting involved with organizations dedicated to preventing bullying and supporting those affected. There are many anti-bullying groups who rely on donations to fund their programs. There's educational campaigns and resources for victims. And a few organizations to name: PACER's National Bullying Prevention Center, which is focused on raising awareness and providing resources to schools and communities. Stomp Out Bullying is a leading anti-bullying organization that offers education and support for young people. The Trevor Project provides resources and crisis support for LGBTQ plus youth who are disproportionately affected by bullying. And even small actions like sharing their mission can help create ripples of change. Change is possible, and it all starts with us. Together, we can create a much safer, kinder world for children and future generations. If you or someone you know is affected by bullying, help is available. You can call the National Bullying Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255 for confidential support. There's also websites, stopbullying.gov. There's tons of information on there, different tips and resources. Let's stand together against bullying, and it all begins with you. And we just want to thank you all so much for supporting our show. I know this episode was a little bit different, but it's something that I am extremely passionate about, and we greatly appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss a Crime Salad episode. And if you're interested in supporting our show more, make sure you tell a friend about Crime Salad. I know there's many forums online, even on Facebook, so we would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, and going back to sharing your story about if you were bullied or something like that in the past, I think a cool twist to that would also be sharing what is going well now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, this is how the struggle was when I was younger, mm-hmm. and this is where I'm at now, and I'm happy because of it. I think that would be a cool twist to kind of give the perspective of, oh, I was bullied. I felt like I couldn't continue. Now I have a wonderful family and this and that and blah, blah, blah. You know, I think that would be really cool to hear.
I love that. That is like so awesome. That's perfect. Let's do that. You know, I've been suicidal at times whenever I was around 16 and things like that. And it's just like so scary to think like I could have ended my life. I could have ended it right there and I would have never seen any of this, you know, like I wouldn't mm-hmm. have seen my kids growing up. Yeah. I wouldn't have seen the house we live in. I wouldn't have seen this podcast, you know, and it's just like, oh my gosh, there's so much more to life.
There is. So not to mention, I think this could be a good place to kind of add this, is that Ashley and I have both been to a psych ward around the same age, you know, in our younger mm-hmm. teenage years. And I think that's why a lot of the concepts of our show revolve around psychology. And yes, neither of us have a psychology degree, but, you know, mental health has been such a big deal in both of our lives, learning about mental health. And, you know, it's a continuous thing. It's continuous improvement. It's something that maybe was shoved down our throats when we were teenagers by therapists, but these are topics that we're continuing to learn and we're continuing to evolve and build upon, right? So yes, we're not doctors or anything like that, but
I think we just have experience and you know, trauma, it could just be a small thing. Exactly. It doesn't have to be a big thing. And sometimes it is, which is horrible.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like a lot of people have experienced, you know, trauma and, and it's just things that we've experienced really. And we're passionate about it because, well,
honestly, it should mean something. It's like a job application, right? It's like, well, in lieu of a 4-year degree, this many years of experience, I'm going on 36 years of experience here with mental health and depression. So
yeah, I love you. You're my best friend.
My best friend.
Got me in my feelings. Well, I think that's all for tonight. Now I'm going to go cry and eat a bag of chips.
I'm going to play World of Warcraft.
I'm going to go watch a romantic comedy just to like lighten the mood.
Nice rom-com.
Yeah, I need a good cry.
I don't need to cry, but I like that for you.
Okay. Well, that's all. We will talk to you next time. If you or someone you know is struggling, please remember that help is available. You can reach out to the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988 or visiting 988lifeline.org for support.